Welcome to the ESP Media Studios in Kenwood for this week's edition of the Angry Quarterbacks. You've got the two angry guys. I'm Tom Gamble. He's Richard Skinner.
And we have a real quarterback.
We're the angry part, and then we have a quarterback. That's right. Tony Pike, who played at Reading, UC, and
still plays in CRC 7-on-7 games, I think, don't you?
I kill the 7-on-7.
That's what I thought. Right, yeah.
Do you really? You still play?
No, absolutely not. I wish.
Co-ed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I've heard. Maybe I'm wrong.
Co-ed works. I have no issue with that.
That's about what my arms got left in me. Got nothing.
Eventually, it just dries up, brother.
Yeah. It's not co-ed, but I like watching sometimes volleyball when played in the sand at certain...
2-on-2?
Yeah.
2-on-2 or however
Sweaty.
They show up. Yeah, I don't give a damn how. I don't care what. It's not like I'm watching for the quality of volleyball play.
Ah, see, okay.
Just, you know, sometimes it enhances the beverage. All right, here we go. Segment number one of the Angry Quarterbacks. We start with high school football, and it will start in Southwest Ohio, where, man, there's a lot to talk about. Last week, the weather was less than conducive on Friday night. There were a couple games that were knocked back to Saturday, but let's start with the game.
And a couple that moved up to Thursday.
That is true. So, let's start with the game.
I don't understand in the first place. I mean, moving the game. I understand thunderstorms, but it's rain. I mean, this is the
only thing I can think of is if you had a grass field and you were thinking of 2 to 4 inches, I just don't know if you could.
Well, who outside of Reading has that anymore?
Well, that's a good point. Bellevue. Bellevue moved
Connor.
Their game up. Connor.
But I think it has a lot to do with economics. I don't think they'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
But at the end of the day, when you know it's a miserable Friday night and a lot of school, you know, the GCL is probably rare from the standpoint they sell a lot of tickets in advance.
Yeah, right.
But most schools just open up the gates on Friday night. And I mean, let's be honest. I mean, we joked. I was at the Skyline Chili Crosstown Showdown game, Turpin at Northwest. And I'm like, if you didn't, I was stunned.
I did the game on TV. There was nobody there.
Well, there were more there than I thought
would even be
there.
That's
because,
a good point.
Because I asked somebody, I'm like, would you go to this? I mean, you know, if you were making a decision.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you went to the game of games, which has become the game in Cincinnati, one during the regular season, one during the postseason. That would be Cole Rain at St. Xavier. You stood on the sideline, rain suit, right?
Absolutely.
You were prepared.
Absolutely.
So, for those who, we were not at that game, but boy, it must have been. What I mean, I went out to my car frequently to turn it on the radio, and when it was
dry off.
When it was 14-0 and you're in the fourth quarter, and St. X was able to do very little on offense, I'm thinking, well, Colerain's going to win.
Yeah, well, there's so many small things in a game like that, which I thought, you know, when you go into a game, you got to start working on your tempo a little bit because these referees anymore. They spot the ball and they blow the whistle, and then you got 20 seconds of the ball getting soaked with rain. So, you know, was it about six and a half minutes left? Colerain got a first down, made it four. It was 14-0. They were driving. A lot of people started to leave, especially the St. X side was completely full of fans, which was pretty impressive.
Sure.
But St. X gets the ball back. They start going 2-minute drill. Colerain switched from what they had been in the whole game and started to do a little prevent. Chase Wolf got into a good little rhythm. And they were to mount two scoring drives. The interesting thing, the rule that I didn't know about.
I know where you're going with this. I had no idea this.
It shocked me. I'm sitting on the side. No idea
what's going on. The free kick.
Yeah. So Colerain, 14-14. They're backed up on like the 3-yard line.
Yep.
And they go to punt.
Fair caught it.
Yeah. So St. X fair catched it on the 25. They line up for what looked like a kickoff. I had no idea what was going on.
It's funny. I'm surprised the NFL, you get one of those every 3 or 4 years, maybe even more than that. I'm surprised more NFL teams at the end of a half don't make a team punt. Because you got some of these guys on a free kick from 60-plus.
60 or 70.
Yeah, right.
So basically, if they punt and you fair catch it, you are able to then.
You are, and you can do that at any time. Technically, the rule is after a fair caught punt, you can do a couple different things. One is, obviously, put the ball in play and run a play.
Right.
Or you can take a free kick. And so at the end of a half or at the end of a game,
well, yeah,
in this
it was
case,
in the final 10 seconds, so they figured they might as well go for it.
And this wasn't it's not a field goal lineup. You put it on a tee and you can run up like you're kicking the ball off. Now, they didn't make it.
And there's no defense, correct?
Correct. No rush.
You just that kicker and away you go.
Yep. Huh. Which was odd. And the previous kickoff, the St. X kicker had kind of kicked it out of bounds. So I think it almost throws off your timing a little bit.
Probably.
You're used to field goal. But, you know, Colerain scored, you know, they kick a field goal on the first drive of overtime. And then, you know, St. X, Chase Wolf made some really good plays with his feet. Fox, their running back, is a workhorse in a game like that. And then they punch it in and win. So, to me, just one of the best high school games I've been to. Definitely lived up to its billing.
Well, think about last year, too, in the postseason. I mean, Colerain's up 23-7 in the third quarter. That game was up in Hamilton. And who would have thought? I mean, I happened to be there on the sideline thinking the same. I was almost like, well, we'll stay a little bit longer because it literally looked like it was out of reach. And next thing you know, that was Sean Clifford, who's now at Penn State, I mean, who really engineered all that. And they wound up winning 29-23 in overtime. But, man, that game, four of the last five have been decided in overtime.
It still shocks me watching Cole Rain, how year in and year out you can run that triple option and be so effective. Because it does just – late in the game, they were wearing St. X down with it.
Yeah.
And you look to wonder, but then you see, you know, Georgia Tech does it, Navy does it. So if you can do it at a high
– and do it well.
High level. Now, I think the one thing Colerain's missing is the ability accurately to throw passes off play action down the middle.
Because you got to be able to hit that.
Because guys are putting so many – they're putting so many guys in the box that all it takes is one or two of those a game. I think if they develop that. But that's probably the scariest 0-2 team – you're ever going
to
see.
I will say, though, and you and I talked about it, they're in a spot where they might have to run the table, though, to make the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, they've really, because the GMC has not had good success.
Well,
that's left is GMC games.
And this is the first year that they've gone from seven to eight league games. So the rest of the season for all Greater Miami Conference schools, they're all playing each other. Now if you are Colerain, you know, and that's the only flaw in the Harbin computer system, and I don't know how you do this.
Yeah, you get no credit for losing close games to good teams.
To good teams.
That's the only
bad
part about it.
I wish that variable was in there because, I mean, they've played half of the GCL South.
Right.
I mean, they've played two teams that have won 21 straight games.
And played them within a play or two of winning the game.
Yeah, a touchdown combined. And one on the road, one at home in overtime.
Tony, you brought up something, and as a quarterback, I'll ask you, and you mentioned that the Colerain kind of went to the prevent. And I get it. You're trying to just keep everything in front of you, tackle. The clock is your ally. But as a quarterback, when you're in that circumstance, does it almost feel like a relief that you're not getting the blitz looks maybe you were getting and that you can look and go, all right, I know where the safeties are going to be. All I need to do is now just be accurate. And, look, it might take some time, but I know now I can – and you mentioned Chase Wolf got into a rhythm. Maybe that helped him get into a rhythm too.
Oh, I think without a doubt that's what kind of got the motor running for St. X because you look, it was 5-yard outs, 10-yard outs, comebacks, everything to the sideline. Everything was an easy throw.
And in high school and
no
college –
rush in the pocket,
you get the chance to stop the clock on first downs too.
I mean, so. It was like clockwork going down, and then when St. X got the ball back, Colerain tried to revert back and start putting some pressure. But by that time, you've already got the engine going here, and like at the point I brought up before, when you're going hurry up offense, especially in the rain, now that ball's only sitting out there for 4 or 5 seconds getting wet, as opposed to 20 seconds, which I thought, you know, it's something you don't really notice a lot, but I think it's definitely interesting.
It's funny because we had a couple of camera shots in the game I did, the Turpin Northwest game, and it was Northwest was actually trying to let some clock run because they're up by a few scores, and they zoomed in on it, and I'm thinking, man, that thing looks slick. Yep. And sure enough, you'd watch the center, and the shotgun snap would almost go over the kid's head a couple of times just because that football was getting soaked sitting out there.
So you mentioned the GCL South. I mean, 7-1 after the first 2 weeks. The only loss – a 38-30 loss in Louisville by Moeller, a game that they led by 17 points, had a chance to win. Trinity had a huge day passing the football. But, you know, you look at, you know, Elders off to a 2-0 start. They're at Gahanna-Lincoln in Columbus this Friday, which won't be easy. LaSalle 2-0, and how about that defense? They have not allowed a touchdown. Friday, certainly conditions on a grass field at East Central, but they welcome in West Claremont. Moeller doesn't get any easier. They travel to Lexington to Georgetown College to take on Scott County on Friday night, and Scott County 3-0 and very, very good. And then St. X hosting Walnut Hills. So they're 7-1.
Why would you schedule that game?
Well, previous coach was on the staff at St. X.
I know.
Now in the GMC, they wind up – this is, you want to talk about bizarre. They have three teams off to 2-0 starts.
And everyone else
0-2.
And the 2-0s are Sycamore, Mason,
and Lakota East.
And
Mason and Sycamore play each other this Friday night. So, that again, starting the GMC. I think that maybe the most surprising one for me is Fairfield.
Yep.
I mean, they came in, you know, a lot of people thought they were maybe a top five team.
They've got two of the top, depends on who you look at, two of the top six guys in the state. I mean, Malik Van and Jackson Carmen.
Correct. So they're 0-2, and, you know, they've lost to two schools from the GWOC. So it'll be interesting to see as the GMC play begins. I was at Princeton, you know, Mike Daniels taking over there. They lost to West Claremont. A lot of emotion in that game for West Claremont.
Sure.
Then they almost went to Springfield and won, which would have been a huge win. Springfield, Maurice Douglas is there now. That was 27-24. So that should be interesting. I'd be remiss if I didn't. We've got three. This is the last week of the Skyline Chili Crosstown
Showdown.
Three good games. 2-0 Anderson at 2-0 Harrison on Friday night.
Harrison beat East Central in overtime a couple weeks ago.
Yep, that is correct. And Corbin one of the top smaller schools every year in Kentucky. Yeah, travels up to Fort Mitchell to take on Beachwood. Corbin's 3-0, Beachwood's 2-0.
And Corbin's a 2A school.
Correct.
Beachwood's an A school, so they're just a little bit more enrollment than Beachwood has.
And then Covenant Catholic, which is the number one ranked team over in Northern Kentucky, off to a 3-0 start, and A.J. Mayer's back and doing what he does, throwing touchdown passes. They travel to Kings, which is 1-1, but they almost knocked off Lakota East. They wound up losing 34-27. So those are three pretty darn good games on Friday night.
I think you had two. I think just touching on Princeton, I think Mike Daniels, maybe not this year, but he's going to get Princeton back.
I think
so
too.
Because you look at their facilities and their school and everything they got.
Beautiful.
It's going to be very inviting to a lot of guys to go there. I definitely wouldn't want to. Is it Middletown this week that Colerain has?
Yeah. Yes.
I think that's going to be a. I think Colerain's going to find all the ways to get right on offense this week.
Exactly.
But it is. It's interesting because we went in thinking, you know, is this a year that someone can dethrone Colerain?
And Mason, maybe. Mason, to me, based on – and again, I know they played Withrow, but they won at Springboro when they got
behind 14. Yeah, which is a good win.
Very good win. So that'll be interesting. And the ECC, Anderson, certainly from an offensive standpoint, off to a pretty darn good start. Turpin, a little bit of a surprise because
bad Friday night. Just
yeah,
bad.
And I think Friday night I'm willing to say a little bit based on weather. I mean, because Friday night's conditions, I know.
They were coming off a loss to McNick, too. And
correct.
Then McNick turned around and lost on Friday as well.
But how about Tom Grippa? I mean, 2 weeks in, 2-0. They finished 2-8 last year at Milford. And you talk to anybody out there and they'll tell you this guy can coach. And I don't know how many games Milford can win, but he's already off to a 2-0 start, pretty impressive.
We look to touch on your point about Fairfield. I think Lakota West starts to sit in that same boat, too.
No doubt. Right.
Because when you look at that roster.
They got some dudes.
A couple guys going to Kentucky that had bigger offers.
Yep, Xavier Peters.
That chose to go to Kentucky. And to me, it's just that blows my mind because of how big that school is.
They lost.
The athletes that you see.
42-21 to Centerville and gave up 4 special teams touchdowns.
Yep.
And
Centerville the week before beat Fairfield.
Yeah, beat Fairfield.
And I've actually got that game on TV Friday, and then Saturday I got Wyoming CHCA, so that'll be
that'd be a good one.
Wyoming's off to a great start.
They are off. They handled Taft pretty easily, and Taft is pretty good, and CHCA went to Indian Hill and won.
Had Taft the week before. I thought Taft was really, really good, so that tells me that Wyoming must really be good.
Yeah, Wyoming is, when you look at that CHL, they're pretty darn good. In Northern Kentucky, I mean, I don't think anyone's totally surprised. I mean, most people thought Covenant Catholic would be solid this year, but boy, they might even be better than advertised. They're really good.
I mean, that win over Ryle keeps looking better and better. I think everybody wondered, is Ryle, are they going backwards? Well, probably
a new quarterback.
Bit.
I mean,
but
you know,
they've won 2 games since then and looked pretty good, at least in the most recent win, in doing that. Maybe it just shows you Covcast that darn good.
Simon Kenton off to a 3-0 start, maybe closer than you might have thought at Connor, but I think
weather had a lot to do with that.
Sure, but I think over there, I think you've got usual suspects.
Sure.
Don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, kind of. Southeastern Indiana, I know East Central lost Lawrenceburg with another lops. I would expect East Central and Lawrenceburg, as they get going and get into plan, you know, more of the Indiana schools, I think they'll both have a pretty successful year.
I think two things from this weekend, too, that jump out. One is teams that played on Friday, I mean, whether you win, you have to have so much more confidence going forward because there's probably not another game you're going to play all year in worse conditions.
Hope not.
So now you get the understanding of, look, we can do this here.
Under these circumstances.
Yeah, and I think just from the game I was at, I think St. X Colerain, if that's a normal night, I think St. X is the better team by maybe 2 scores right now. But then just how we talked about Kentucky having that bye week in between, seeing the physicality up close of these GCL games and these Ohio games, it makes you wonder how much longer it's going to go before you start adding in a bye, because I know teams definitely want it. And when you see it up close, the hitting and how physical this game is and how big these guys are in high school now, you're almost going to have to.
Well, I mean, I'll use your high school career or college. I mean, there were some teams in the CHL that you could go, whoo, on a given basis.
Yep.
There were some teams probably in the leagues you were in at UC where it was just some degree. I mean, you don't – if you're a GCL school, give me St. X has a week off this week against Walnut Hills. Let's face facts.
Yep.
That's kind of a week. But you don't have that for many of these.
No.
And then you get in the GMC. Could Middletown be construed as a week off? Probably. But not very often, man. It is a grind for those schools.
Yeah, and I mean, if they're going to talk about safety issues and things that they're trying to do to make
way.
It. Yeah, I would agree. So that was one. Did you have another? You said 2 things.
No, I was just adding the weather factor.
Gotcha. I hope that's the last. But, you know, that's part of the deal. I mean, you got to be able to
come up with 3 things. He only could come up with 2.
I can't even count.
Well, I couldn't even. I didn't even realize that was a segment.
I didn't either, but that's okay.
So we'll just move along. All right, there you have it. Our high school football segment is in the books. Coming up next, we'll talk about the real opening weekend of college football.
Don't mess with Austin Peay, man.
Lots to get to there. Who? What? Who played them?
I want to know if you did. You went, right, to the game, UC game?
You're listening to the Angry Quarterbacks from your friends right here at ESP Media. Welcome into the ESP Media Studios here in Kenwood, just north of downtown Cincinnati, for another edition of the Angry Quarterbacks. The two angry guys, Tom Gamble and Richard Skinner, joined by a legitimate quarterback. How about that? Tony Pike, we just talked about high school where he played at Reading. Now we'll get into college football and the real opening weekend where he played at UC. And then we have one more segment left. We'll talk a little NFL. The opening week in the
where
NFL.
Where he spent some time in the NFL.
Yeah, I cannot be more excited. For the
we can't talk CFL because you didn't play there, right?
No, okay. No.
Or indoor arena?
No,
any of that
stay
crap?
Away from that.
Okay. All right. We can't talk
we
that
We had
either,
an experience in indoor.
Yes, we did.
If you remember back in the days of the – well, we didn't play, but
no,
I mean, we were affiliated.
I covered them.
I went and you watched did. Eric Hicks when he played for the –
That's right. He did play. He, it was a team in Charlotte, right?
No.
Oh, no, he played – that's right. He played for the team here. He played for the Commandos.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
I went and watched that game.
How about that?
Ben Maul.
You were more of a fan of the River Monsters, I know.
Oh, they were so good. Yeah, they were. They
especially when Jared Lorenzen, if you remember
love,
that.
Love me some Jared Lorenzen, man.
Wearing some tennis shoes, maybe, and no guards on from the knee on down and happened to break an ankle, right? I mean, wasn't that what happened?
That's kind of it.
I mean,
that's kind of it.
I'm just saying.
Dude, you talk about a talented
funny.
Cat, though,
I mean,
man.
Oh,
he
my
was
God.
So, he, I kid you, when I covered Kentucky and he was a quarterback then, he would occasionally, at the end of practice, he'd go on his knees 60 yards away and throw the ball through the frickin' goalpost.
What's he doing now? Do you know?
I think he's in sales in Lexington.
Is he?
Yeah,
I saw something a couple weeks ago. They're doing like a fitness journey with him.
Yeah, they are, because he's over 500 pounds.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
He's
over 500, I know. You know what? I did. Yeah. I saw that as well.
They're going to try to, like, I guess they're going to try to
sell
his progress.
Yeah. And I hope it works
out.
Cause
absolutely.
He was just a lot of fun to watch.
All right, college football season is upon us. And, I mean, if that opening weekend, with the exception of you can kind of see a few of the usual suspects mm-hmm. rising to the top, and I think across the
like
board.
Like Howard, Liberty.
Oh, right, those absolutely. Schools. But I got to tell you, I mean, college football to me, if you can't enjoy that, something's wrong with you. I mean, top to bottom, it was an exciting opening weekend.
I mean, obviously, Tony, you do UC games. Is it hard for you on a Saturday – when it's a work involved and you want to see those other games sometimes. I know for me on NFL Sundays, the NFL product doesn't wow me that much, yep. So covering NFL games and not being able to watch the others doesn't really bother me a ton. It would bother me if I wasn't able to watch a lot of college football games on Saturdays.
At times it's tough, and after Thursday night it might be tougher throughout the year.
Right.
with the way things went. But Thursday night games are fine, but the Saturday,
yeah.
The primetime games, you know, if you're flying home or you're doing something, to me the thing that kind of sucks this year, Wake Forest, where my brother's a senior.
Right, that's right.
Their schedule's mirrored exactly
oh, wow.
with UC. So bye weeks are the same. Day of the game is the same. So that's hard not to be able to watch
sure.
his senior year. But it is. It normally, you know, last couple of years when the product was on the – or not the last couple, but when the product was on the rise, it was great. Now they're trying this rebuild. It makes it a little bit tougher.
Yeah. When they're paying you so damn much, you can't give
well,
that
yeah,
up.
Right,
I mean, you got to
right.
keep going.
That's something you
got to.
That's something you got
to.
Right.
You
got to
weigh
with.
The. You know, I get it, man.
Right.
Man's got to make a living.
Right. Right.
I understand.
Exactly.
Let's talk about that because you got a chance to go.
I tried to go. I got there to not to the game.
Right.
I got on campus eventually.
But you had a parking. You had a parking pass.
New
right?
exit worked wonders. That was tremendous.
You had a parking
and why
pass.
Why would you want a cop to yeah. go out and maybe direct some traffic?
I believe there's only one garage that accepts cash. At the whole, around the whole.
Well, no, I had a damn, I had a parking pass, which I still have in my possession. By the way, it's
what is your, where does your parking pass take you, Tony?
I did cash parking this
week.
Did
you know? So I'm not trying to be funny. What garage even takes cash?
Corey?
Way down by the library.
Oh, wow.
I was down there, but I was down there when I tried to turn into my garage, which was written on my damn parking pass. I was met with the following. About 8 cones, 2 cops waving. Just waving you by in a big-ass truck.
Well, blocking have the guts to say, listen, I'm supposed to be parking here. Here's my
pass. And the guy just said, just waved.
Well, then I would write a letter to somebody at the university if it was me.
I wrote an email.
And?
Strongly worded.
And?
We heard a lot of that. That's what I got.
No solution?
No, apparently not.
Wow.
Apparently don't try to enter that
now,
garage.
I want to see if I get the right. You do sideline reporting for UC, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Connector.
And you paid cash?
Get on a connector.
Yes, I did.
Hmm.
Now, last year I was given all the credentials and parking
passes sure.
and one, but I'm starting to think because this year they gave my credentials to Mo, that maybe Mo stole it.
Is he parking for free?
I guess he did.
Well, then you're going to have to start riding with Mo.
Yeah, that's a problem in itself.
It's probably
so now when you talk to
itself.
Locals, we'll start with UC, and I wish I could tell you something about the game. I had every intent to come in here and speak about it today, but... they didn't look so good.
Well, Tony was there. Tony was on the sideline after he paid to park.
It was extremely frustrating to watch on so many different levels. One, all offseason we heard Mike Boone. You leave the first quarter, Mike Boone's got 2 carries. So for me, when you're
against playing, a team you should overpower.
Right, so you're playing against like Austin Peay, and my thought is I want to see how many we can get out of Mike Boone so I have an understanding of going into Michigan, hey, he can probably handle this many carries before he gets tired or this and that. We didn't find that out at all. They held UC's offense to 250 total yards. That was the first time since 2011 Austin Peay has given up or hasn't given up 30 or more.
That's insane.
That tells you anything. They had lost 45 out of 46, and UC had an interception from the 5 and a goal line stand from the 4, or else that's a tie ball game or an Austin Peay win. To me, you know, Coach Fickell talks, and I understand that the cupboard wasn't.
Yeah,
and very full. This is nothing against Coach Fickell.
And I think
staff.
People actually, first of all, they need to understand that part
and
of
I,
it.
I
but,
think that's the biggest thing because what he's done in recruiting and coming, but you're playing with the cards you already dealt for this year. And for me, you know, they spent it. It was good because you faced adversity, this and that. Well, my biggest concern going in the game was our punter from Australia had never punted in college before. So I was like, is he going to get any punts against Austin Peay? His first punt going to come against Michigan at the Big House? Well,
from his own end zone.
He had plenty of punts, so he should be – ready to go. The defense, you know, where they were supposed to be strong up front, they missed a lot of assignments in their gaps. They allowed Austin Peay to move the ball pretty much throughout the game. So for me, it's going to be interesting going up to Michigan this week with...
I mean, you talk about a night and day differential of opponent for good. That's the one, you know, you always hear, and I think there's truth to it, that whole most improvement you make is from week one to week two. Yeah. But you could make improvement and still go to Michigan and still get boat raced. I mean, really.
Well, you just started to see a little things from the previous years creep in. Hayden Moore can be a great quarterback, but when Hayden Moore is unsure of himself or not confident, he stares down receivers the whole time. And this week it was a batted ball or an incompletion. Or last week, if it happens this week, it's going to be a pick six numerous times. So little stuff like that. It's going to be interesting to see how this team handles adversity and holds their composure against a team that looked really good. Against Florida.
Yeah, they did. I mean, Michigan, especially on defense.
Take the 2 pick sixes away. They don't score.
Now, it should be duly noted, Florida was missing leading rusher, leading receiver. I mean, they did miss some key components in that game. Well, you go up I-71 in Ohio State. Well, it took a little while, and obviously Indiana tested them, no question. I mean, you're up 21-20 Indiana in the third quarter. But when it's all said and done, you can see over time that this Ohio State team, front 7's very good. They've obviously got good running backs. Barrett will still be Barrett at quarterback. I mean, this
13th year
as
a quarterback.
Yeah, this is right. It does seem like he's been there for a decade, doesn't it? But at the end of the day, you can see in Saturday will be a test. I mean, Oklahoma, Ohio State, you know, Ohio State's going to have to play better than it did against Indiana against Oklahoma. Now, you remember last year, they went out to Oklahoma.
And
that was all the hype and just bludgeoned
killed
them. So there you've got that. You got Notre Dame. Winning, obviously, they've got Georgia. Can Georgia beat them without Easley,
I think
though?
They could have beat them with Easton.
I don't think they get him this week.
Yeah, I don't either.
I thought for sure when you looked at you know the Notre Dame game, they weren't sharp at times, but you can see a little bit of improvement.
I agree.
I think this is a make or break year for Kelly.
What's he got to win? I don't disagree, but what's a number? Give me a number.
I think you got to get to at least 8.
Okay, that's probably fair.
And then you've got Kentucky, which won on the road at Southern Mississippi. If you look at their schedule, and again, they've got Florida, but they've got them in Lexington.
If Eddie Grant had been in front of me, I would have kicked Eddie Grant right in the face. If they lined up in the Wildcat one more time and got 1 yard, I was going to kill someone near me. It was
so
frustrating.
I will be honest. I can't watch.
It's the only thing I root for. I have no rooting interest in anything other than Kentucky football.
What's weird about it is, you're correct, UK grad, don't really care much about basketball.
I don't, and I'm a basketball coach, but I don't care.
You're right. You're crazed.
And I'll give him credit. After the game, he said, yeah, I think I got a little stubborn with that format. You think a little stubborn? I think they ran it 11 times for 11 yards. And it wasn't even the Wildcat. It was put a running back there, put a tight end offset to his right, and then just snap it to him. No fakes, no nothing. Look like you're watching football from 1926.
Now, if you weren't doing UC, if you weren't on the air and you were watching UC, would you be that same way?
I would have been screaming to get Mike Boone the ball just because I think he's one of the better backs around. Especially physically when you see him, and he can be using the passing
game. Do you become a little unglued, though?
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. I was happy just to touch back. We saw Peyton Ramsey get in for Indiana
You're right, yeah.
I think that was good to see him get some time. I thought,
it was stupid coaching.
Yeah.
When they put him in.
Right.
Oh, no. And I think, he had that guy wide open in the flat, too, and just underthrew him.
Yep.
But he got the first down on the tip ball. I was glad he got in. They obviously think enough of him as a redshirt freshman to put him in.
In a game like that, in that situation.
But they even made comment about, the momentum.
Yeah, it was probably the wrong time to do it.
Yep.
Right.
I think they'll use him more throughout the year.
I do, too.
The time was a little off. I was surprised Louisville with Brahm at Purdue, they gave Louisville a run for their money. And I think there's a lot of outside of maybe the top three this year, because what you saw out of Bama is what you're going to see.
Out of Bama, Clemson played Kent State, which is just Kent State's terrible.
But Clemson still looks pretty good.
The quarterback looks really good.
He does. Because that was the one, because defensively, their defensive front's probably the best in the country. That was really the big question mark, is could this guy step in and replace Deshaun Watson? And man, he looked really good doing it. Yep. Really good.
I think you're right. After whatever that number of elite is, everybody else on a given side.
Which
is really
fun. I think it makes it fun.
Well, that's why the games are so exciting.
I mean, you can argue, I'm tired of hearing of Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State. Quite frankly, I like watching all three play. I really do. I mean, I know people get tired of Alabama. I think they're fun to watch just because everything is done the right way. I mean, they tackle, they block, they make the plays. I like watching.
I just think out of those three, I mean, people have USC. USC struggled for a bit
big
this
time.
Weekend.
Big
time. You're going to find USC plays Stanford. And I don't know how good Stanford is, but they're good enough.
Yeah.
I mean, if USC plays that way, and I thought the game of the weekend was the UCLA game. Are you kidding me? I mean, 44-10 they're losing.
I flipped over to Virginia Tech, and I was doing some work that night, which is a great game.
It was a good game.
And I kept seeing the score at the bottom of my screen. I thought, they're not coming back. When it got to 31 maybe, I thought, for a series.
There was two touchdown passes in there that should never happen.
No doubt.
The one that got intercepted and the one that he threw off his back.
Yeah.
I mean, stuff like that, but I don't know how Sumlin is still coaching.
Well, there was. I don't know if they've got a board of regents or a board of trustees, but whatever. But one of those board members the next day called for him to be fired. He's got one foot out the door. Yeah. The only thing he can do to save himself is run the table and maybe get to the college football playoffs, and that's going to be a long shot at this stage.
I mean, you looked at Saturday night with the Alabama Florida State, which obviously terrible with Francois down. But then Sunday into those games, and then last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Tennessee game.
I try to get to bed early on a Monday,
you
and
can't.
Then I got freaking overtime.
No, it's funny. I did the same thing and found I had to watch till the end.
I was so glad they went for two at that point.
Right. So did I.
I didn't care.
And I thought it was smart. Yeah. I think he realized we ain't stopping Tennessee. Right. This is
smart,
our best chance.
But I don't like the play.
I did not like the play call at all.
What they were doing was they were dominating. Then you try to get too cute with and an overload one side. But it amazed me, like we talked about Cole Rain, seeing a team in this era of college football rushed for 500-plus yards.
500-plus. This wasn't rushing for 500 against the 1AA, man. This was a SEC blue blood.
And we'll close the college football segment with, did you ever have anything like a trash can on the sideline you were dunking in?
Did you ever hold the rope?
That was terrible.
Did you ever build anything brick by brick?
I had no oars. I had no ropes. I didn't chop any wood.
Thank God.
You didn't chop wood?
No. Greg Schiano did. And we rolled through there.
You chopped that wood down,
didn't
you?
We rolled through there with that bull crap.
That guy's a clown.
As a player, I mean, how much do you roll? Do you think guys roll their eyes at that stuff?
Absolutely. I mean, I to me, a lot of it's so fake and this fake.
It's all nonsense. You don't think players buy into that crap. They might act it, but they don't believe it.
What's the Bengal one this year? Step on the gas, step off the gas.
Don't run out of gas.
Don't no. Keep your own gas. Yeah. It's your own gas. Something
it's
like that.
It's in the team thing. There's no siphoning going on.
Well, that's smart.
Run on your own gas. As in, run on your own gas.
Well, you should run on your own gas. Run your own gas. Not run out of gas.
Right.
That's common. Run your own Shiano at Ohio State.
Yeah, defensive coordinator.
That guy's a clown.
Yeah. I will say to finish the UC talk, this week's already a given. Miami next week, and we'll talk about it
huge.
Next week.
Yeah.
But that Miami week is going to figure out where their season falls.
Big, to be honest, I think it's big for both.
Yeah, because you're going at Michigan, at Miami, at Navy.
Yeah.
You're probably not going to win 2 out of 3 of those.
Correct.
You can't lose that Miami.
Because then
game.
Don't you if you wind up 1-3 with the only victory being over Austin Peay,
do you struggle to beat Austin Peay?
Do you kind of then go, "Uh-oh."
Yep.
I mean, internally do you kind of go, "Boy."
Right. I think Luke's got, I mean, no matter what you're trying to sell, you know what your personnel is,
sure
right?
You do.
He understands.
But I think
he
your personnel is at least good enough to be competitive with Miami.
Yes, you need to be.
Yeah,
but they'll be underdogs.
Yeah. No, I think
Miami'll be favored.
I think you're right.
All right, there you have it. So college football weekend is in the books, and it was an exciting one. Now we get ready for the NFL. We'll talk NFL when we continue.
Dun, dun, dun.
You're listening to The Angry Quarterbacks from ESP Media. Welcome into the ESP Media Studios in Kenwood as we continue working our way through football. We've talked high school, we've talked some college, and now it's time for the opening week of the National Football League. It's the Angry
dun,
Quarterbacks.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, please. That crap. I'm Tom Gamble. He's Richard Skinner. We're the two angry guys. He's the legitimate quarterback who played in the NFL.
Played them all.
Tony Pike. Yeah, you're right. Played for the Bearcats, played for the Blue Devils of Reading.
Didn't play in the Boone County Pee Wee League, though.
No, he did not.
You'd never gotten out alive.
We tried to schedule them the Reading Little League.
the Reading Little Peewees.
Yeah.
So here we go.
Was it Little Devil football? I bet.
I was at St. Xavier Golden Bear.
Ah, that's even bigger. That's bigger time.
So here we go. Week one, Thursday night gets it all underway. The Chiefs.
It's a good game
at the Patriots. And I will tell you, I enjoy watching New England.
I know you do,
because I just like the way they operate. I mean, I'm not going to, like, change my plans to watch it. If it happens to come on, I will. I mean, I'll go on record. I find the NFL very boring. And it's I look down the week one slate of games. I'll watch the Bengals Ravens.
You asked this question last week when we did the podcast, I believe, or whatever it was, and Tony was not a part of this one that we did. And you asked, why don't more NFL teams do what college teams do, and why is it so hard? I'll leave it up to you to explain that, because I think people see that, and they're thinking, okay, well, you got – better athletes and what the throwing windows in the NFL compared to college, how much smaller and quicker and tighter are they?
They're so much smaller, and it's just little things of a three-step drop, no hitch, three-step drop, you take an extra hitch, or you double hitch and it's done.
It's too late.
You don't have that. Now, I do think, and we've spoke before, the whole hurry-up offense, I think you need to start seeing more of that, because even NFL teams that do it usually succeed when they get into their 2 minute. It's just at I think awful times. Like, obviously a last drive 2 minute drill, but if you're stagnant, you go 3 or 4 3 and outs, change things up and go 2 minute, because even if it's not going to work the whole game, but if you get the defense off or all of a sudden defense gets stuck in their base and they can't show blitzes.
That's the big part of it. Yeah, that's the big part.
That, to me, is what I don't think people utilize enough in the NFL.
I agree.
Well, and I get it. I mean, watching the Alabama-Florida State game, Florida State, I can't remember what point of the game it was, but they tried some, like, double reverse. Not a chance, because Alabama's got too much speed.
Right.
I get that in the NFL, but I guess what drives me crazy is I can damn near watch a game and sitting on my couch can go, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. It's become – and a lot of that is the churning and recycling of coaches.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not – you know, I don't expect – you can't, obviously. And I think, unfortunately, what happens is when you get – like when you watch Oregon, And then you watch some of that try to come into the NFL, right. Chip Kelly.
But it did not work for Chip. It did work for a period of time.
Initially at Philadelphia,
his,
it did.
His personnel just kind of got out of whack.
I think that's the part that everybody – I don't think it was schematic. It was eventually he got meddling with personnel, screwed that up, went to just a messed up situation in San Francisco where they didn't have any talent whatsoever. So I'm not sure that system didn't work. It just – the personnel part of it didn't work.
There's so many teams that just – they don't take advantage of – blatant things you can see on TV.
Correct.
Like, why teams won't just run 8 hitches in a row if the guy's playing 10 yards off?
Absolutely.
Blows my mind. Now, you watch Tom Brady, he'll check out of something and just he'll continue to throw it. And that, to me, that shows the success, because now these defenders got to come up. You beat them over the top, or they take a guy out of the box, then you can run the ball on them.
Well, and I don't know if this happened to you when you were in Carolina or not, but I think Marvin Lewis even said last year, and I can't remember how the conversation came up. It was something about running a same play, a similar play another time. And I think the answer was, well, we better not have. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. I get you want to show different looks and run different formations and not show the same. But if you ran something in the first quarter and it worked, and you go back to that same look and try it again and it works, would you go back to it a third time and say, they didn't stop it either of those times? I mean,
I would literally have a hitch run every play until the defense comes
in. Right.
Because chances are you're going to break one of those tackles. The problem, there's nothing worse to me. No matter what level, 2nd and 10 running plays, I want to throw something through my TV.
And I think it's the whole, I want to get in a better 3rd down and makeable.
Because if you get, and especially in the NFL, because you talk about the speed and the blitzes, if you're in a 3rd and 7 or longer, good luck.
Correct.
Because these teams can hide blitzes, defensive end, they're running 4 sevens and they're pinning their ears back. If you run the ball in 2nd and 10, you better get 5 or 6.
It's funny because I've never charted this, nor would I want to, but I bet you it's at least 70% of the time, and maybe higher, that in 2nd and 10s a team in the NFL runs the football. And it's only because gotta get to 3rd and 5.
Again, now, New England, prohibitive favorite. I mean, until somebody beats them, do you find them going into this where you say, until somebody knocks them off, that they're the team to beat?
Yeah, the only thing I would say is Seattle's retooled a little bit on defense and added another pass rusher this week. That defensive unit is back to maybe where it was a couple of years ago. Now, I don't know if they got enough playmakers on offense or not, but they're close to me.
They got 17 running backs.
They do have a lot of running backs.
You know, let's go AFC with New England. I mean, okay. Is New England clearly in the AFC the team to beat?
Yeah, I believe so.
Teams that you think can contend with New England in the AFC?
If Derek Carr returns healthy, I think the Raiders
are
there.
I want to see how the Marshawn Lynch experiment works.
If he becomes a 1,200-yard rusher again, I mean, with all they've got, holy cow.
Now, would you, if you are there in Oakland, would you go?
I like this. The press box was awful.
No, but I'm just saying, knowing that they're leaving.
Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting to me. Why? The hell with them.
Maybe not at the end. Maybe not, but if I like football, and those people love their football, they love their marijuana, because that's what the stadium smells like. Hot and body odor. It's just a great combination.
Oh, great. So can we get there early?
No, I kid you.
I can't wait to go.
I was down in the field.
You should be doing their marketing.
Come for the pot. Watch the football.
If you reek and like reef,
that's it.
Raider football is for you.
Come to Oco, no question. I think Pittsburgh, I think, has got a chance to be really good, too. Getting Joe Hayden, I don't know what's left in his tank, but I think it's a pretty big pickup.
Now, this is a question I ask every year. Are the Browns going to be any better?
Yes, better.
Better in
good
in,
enough
to better to what?
I wouldn't be surprised if they at Cleveland if they clip the Bengals this year.
I would not disagree
really?
With that.
Okay, yeah,
I could see that happen. And I think what they're doing, roster move wise, I think they're building. You know, I think they've finally understood. Like, hey, if we're going with Hugh, let's buy into him.
No doubt.
Let's make these moves that he wants.
So you feel like the Browns, what they're doing now,
I feel like
are
it's
at least
trending.
Moving
in
the
I feel
trending
like it's
upward.
Trending in the right
well,
direction.
Well, I mean, the fact that they've got a legitimate center now, they got Kevin Zeitler to help at guard, they re-signed Joel Bitonio, Joe Thomas is still there. They've suddenly gone from – I mean, that offensive line the last couple of years was so – I mean, Geno Atkins made Cam Irving the center look like I was trying to block him. It was embarrassing. And they went up – you know what? They cut Cam Irving this year because he sucked, because they got somebody better. So they I think they are better. In fact, if you put a gun, I think they win more games than Baltimore does. I just don't think Baltimore's very good.
They will be better. Pittsburgh, to me, is a question.
Really good.
What they have is great, but Ben Roethlisberger, to me, is he's injury prone the last couple years, and he's 1 foot out the door. I mean, he's talked way too much about retirement and way too much about stepping away from the game that he's going to give up. He's going to give it one good run.
Do you buy that, though? Do you buy that? Or do you think that's just him just wanting people to say, oh, no, don't go, Ben?
I think with how many hits he's taken over his career, I think he's okay. At least contemplating.
And let's face it, if he does get hurt, the drop off at that position for that team.
Well, now don't laugh at me. If he gets hurt during the season to where it's something relatively where you could or couldn't come back, does he just say I'm done?
Maybe
he could.
I mean,
then they'll try to go get McCarron, you know, because that's a hot commodity.
So we got New England. Maybe,
wait till Driscoll comes back.
Maybe Pittsburgh. Is there anybody else in the AFC?
I think if things fell right for the Bengals, they could make a run. I really do. I think if things fell right, I do. I really do. I think
I'm not listening to that.
Okay, I'm just telling you.
You can tell me.
You just got back from Oakland.
Right. That's right. Yeah, I was going to say, apparently Oakland sent a shipment.
Still got that contact buzz. I got that contact buzz going still.
Jesus. Come on.
I'm just saying.
Okay. Come on. And then the NFC, I think I agree with you on Seattle. What about the Cowboys? I mean, obviously, you got Elliott. Were the Cowboys?
I thought a lot of things fell right for them. They
did.
And I like Dak Prescott.
I do too.
I just can see him regressing, actually. I don't know why. It's probably not fair. I'm probably wrong, but.
I'm on them over, really. I don't believe this hype with Philadelphia and the Carson Wentz.
No.
I just don't see that. I think the Cowboys.
He looked lost to me last year.
I think the Cowboys, barring, you know, any injuries with that offensive line and Ezekiel Elliott.
What about the Falcons? I mean, let's not forget the Falcons went to the Super Bowl.
I just think they have a hangover effect.
I do too.
New offensive coordinator. I think Carolina's improved.
I think Camp has improved.
I think McCaffrey is going to be really good.
He looks good
with Carolina.
Far, yeah.
I think they'll bounce back and get Kuechly back. I'm interested to see Tampa Bay because I think have on offense with Mike Evans, OJ Howard, DeSean Jackson. Now they'll get Doug Martin back after 3 weeks. Yeah. I think they could be a team that could surprise people, but I see Atlanta taking a little bit of a step back.
And speaking of Atlanta, God, that stadium, are you kidding me? That thing is ridiculous.
No Chick-fil-A on Sunday, though, man.
That is ridiculous. Yeah, and I'm sure they won't have anything else for you there. Lord have mercy.
Put a Chick-fil-A
with that pricing.
They probably got use out of it
this
weekend.
Well, you have to.
Yeah, that's good. They did. That's exactly
there's
right.
There's enough Thursday games
and Monday
games.
The pricing is absurd.
But, my God,
it's kind of Masters-like.
Place looks unbelievable.
It does. It looks very nice.
God, I mean. Kind of reminds me of Paul Brown.
Mm. Kind of.
When I see that.
Yeah. Parking's a little easier than what we have here.
I'll tell you right now, parking anywhere is easier than at UC games.
Well, you need a parking pass.
I just don't understand how you can have a pass that has a specific garage label on it and not like, sir, I'm sorry, the garage is full. You can go here. Instead of just cones,
here's what we're gonna do:
truck and cop.
The next UC home game, three of us are gonna park at the banks.
No.
We're gonna ride the connector as far as it ends.
Oh gosh!
Hop an Uber, and we'll be right to the stadium.
Yeah. Let me tell you about the connector. We won't have trouble getting on it.
Were you surprised with the whole Jake Elliott stuff?
I was not. For a couple reasons. I thought that I didn't think another team would claim him because you don't know enough about
him. Bullock would have probably been claimed.
I think Bullock would have been claimed.
I claimed him last night in the last round of my fantasy draft.
Did you?
And then when he gets cut, you'll quickly pick up Jake Elliott.
Yeah. I think the Bengals are going to score points and be in
I do too.
At least field positions to kick field goals.
I do too. It's a matter of can he make them when it matters. He's had two kicks that have mattered since he's come here, and he missed them both.
Yeah.
That said, though, I mean, he did outkick Elliott, right, wrong, or different. I thought Marvin's comment that if it had been close, they would have kept Jake, shows you that it wasn't close enough to keep Jake.
But with the Burfict suspension and Pac-Man and questions on the offensive line, you're posting them up there at the top of the AFC.
I'm putting them close.
Interesting.
Because I think they can win. They're going to win the first two games, one of them without Pac-Man, and then week three was going to be a loss whether they have Burfict or not.
Well, the regular season victories have not been the issue. I mean,
that's
hell's
correct.
Bells.
That's correct.
I mean, yeah. This segment is now closed.
That's correct.
We're done. When I start getting here in
10-6 and a playoff win.
Time to go.
10-6 and a playoff win.
Okay.
Over the Chiefs. Threw that out there. I don't even know why I threw that out there.
Yeah, that's silly. But anyway.
Then they have to go to New England and they lose.
I'll ask Tony, we talked about this on the Two Angry Guys. Do they at least beat the Ravens Sunday?
Oh, I think the point spread's starting to shift to Baltimore side of things. I think it's going to be interesting because I think when you lose Burfict, you lose
much
more than what people realize on defense. And
but Flacco not going through the preseason at all.
I think he's been around enough. I mean, that's like Le'Veon Bell said. You know, he skipped because he didn't want to get hurt in the preseason. That's a great excuse, but
it's a great excuse when you can use it.
It's just interesting pieces. Obviously, Baltimore's defense trying to get back to where they were. You know, how do they use? Was it Danny Woodhead?
Yeah.
you know, that guy always seems to be a thorn in the side of whatever team you watch because everything he can do. I think it'll be a lot closer than people think.
Who wins?
Bengals.
Okay, there you have it.
See? By a field goal.
Ooh. It's fifth of the day. Yeah. See, I got fifth, Justin Tucker. 15, how about we How about we have just an 18-15? That's it. We
really? Both of you need to get a life. All right, there you have it. Another episode, another edition of the Angry Quarterbacks. Enjoy the opening week of the NFL and another great week of college football and high school football where the weather for this Friday looks much different than last Friday, which was supposed to be in the low 70s and sunny. So there you have it. For Tony Pike and Richard Skinner, I'm Tom Gamble, and you've been listening to the Angry Quarterbacks from ESP Media.